got that nearer you than me. Right, we're here at Crescent Curnow today with the lovely Angela Angove, who's from Carncai in Madruth. Angela, would you like to tell us your story?
Yes, I would, thank you. I have a memory of my brother telling me a tale of when he was round about four. And my brother and my grandfather are both passed now. This was a long time ago. I'm now 77. This was happening when he was four and I was about two. Anyway, he told me the tale in his early 20s, because it was just a memory that came to mind. That's our grandfather, took my brother up to Sleggan Workshop. And it was also a smelter works at the height of the mining. But I think what was happening there was a lot of engineering there. But he said, my memories are when he opened the huge doors. Remember, this is a four-year-old memory. They were huge doors and all he could see was flames. And my grandfather said to him, "You look and remember, my boy," he said, "because this is the last of it." And he didn't explain what he meant, he just said it. But it wasn't long before the whole place closed. And that's come to mind to me, so I wished it to be recorded.
Thank you, Angela. You were saying about when you were a child and your brother, and you exploring Bassett Khan. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there's a lot of shafts and a lot of tunnels, air shafts, that come from various mines, so like an Hill Mine, and also the bottom of Carnbrae have got a lot of mines and a lot of engineering works. That all the metal works have gone, but you know, it's still a dangerous place. But when we were growing up, we just went exploring and we climbed in the tunnels, and I really do appreciate now that, you know, my mother didn't know anything that was going on and we could have just gone into oblivion, really. But we all survived, which was a miracle as far as I was concerned. We used to, the bottom of Carnbrae, that is where the road is going up to Carnbrae. There was what we called the slime pit. It was where the slurry was allowed to settle, and the tin used to settle to the bottom, and they used to scrape that off, the miners did. That was kind of secondary tin, and we had lovely fun in there. You know, Mother used to raise the roof when we got home all covered in red stuff.
Yeah.
But it was good. Mm. It was a wonderful childhood.
Yeah. Thank you, Angela. So, Angela, I hear you're artistic. Why don't you tell me what you did to your mother's wallpaper?
Well, it was in my bedroom, and I didn't know I had any artistic bents at, you know, three or four, whatever it was. I wasn't very old. And I decided I didn't like the colour of the roses, so I took my pencils and was dabbing away and changed the colour of the roses. And Mother didn't notice for a while, but, "Angela, you're quiet, what are you up to?" And when she came up, there it was. So I had hell for that. Smacked ass, actually. And another memory I have of my mum, this is again, when three or four, my mother used to keep chickens. We had a meadow next door to us. And she, every Christmas, of course, they were due for slaughter. Well, she'd done it herself. She hung them upside down, tied their legs together, hung them upside down on the washing line and slit their throats. And I watched it all. And I'm thinking, she shouldn't have done that, really. But I mean, it's a stark memory, you know. So instead of vegetables green, we had a bit red blood, and mother washed it down with. And I'm thinking, I don't think you should. And then there was the feathers. Mother, when she disemboweled them and she took feathers out off, and by that you put them, you dunk them in boiling water, and then you dunk them in cold water, and she sat there with the chickens in between her legs, and boom, 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 the feathers come out like, and she would do a dozen or more at a time, and this was to sell, to make money to sell for Christmas. And I think, Mother, I don't think I should have been there, really. And that, but she didn't take any notice, and I didn't either. And there was no crying or nothing.
Mm.
It just, oh.
Angela, tell us about the rooster.
Well, I had, as I said, the meadow was next to our property, and we had quite a vicious rooster. Seeing to the hens, and one day he bit me rather badly, still got the mark on my neck, and I went in and I actually did cry, and the blood was running down my leg, and mother said, don't you worry nothing about that, my handsome, we'll have him for Sunday lunch. So I went out and said, nah, 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 nah. We're going to eat you.
Hello, we're back again with the lovely Angela Angove, and she's going to talk to us about Cornish accents.
When I was between 15 and 22 or 3, it was very, very obvious to me, just by listening to people, I could detect where they come from, whether it be Truro or Lancing or Penzance or the Lizard. Certainly Redruth and Campbell, simply because of the inflection on just certain letters, really. But it was obvious to me, very clear. And my mother-in-law's, later on in life, my mother-in-law's family came from Plint, and they would talk very high-pitched, and women and men as well. And it was always up there like that, and us it's going to do this, and us it's going to do that. And they never said we or you or me. They just said us in a very high-pitched voice, very strange. And I just had to hold back with a smile because it was odd to me. But I think that was very local.
Yeah.
Up around that area.
Play for Exeter Chief.